Hello, this is Matt with Damaged Goods on Little Wiley Radio, and I'm here with a band called Colossus, and I was wondering if you could introduce yourselves.
I am Sean Buchanan.
And what do you play?
I'm the singer.
I'm Stephen Klein, and I play guitar.
Hey, I'm Doza, and I play the drums.
I'm Bill, I play guitar.
And how long have you guys been a band for?
We actually just celebrated our 10-year anniversary last year, so a little over 10 years. Yeah, coming up on 11.
And how did everyone in the band first meet?
Sean started it, right? You started the band.
No,
I'm newer.
Yeah, it was Rye, who's not here, our bass player, Rye Eshelman, and Nick Peros, the original guitar player. We were playing some Iron Maiden covers during the Super Bowl halftime show about 10 years ago. Yeah.
Way more than 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, that was probably longer because that wasn't the official band. And then, like, about a year later, we got together.
Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, I forget who it was. I think we might have missed that nipple slip that year.
Oh, that was the Janet Jackson year?
Yeah. But yeah, so then Bill joined up shortly after that. We had another drummer for Ben Smith drummed for us for, like, the first 5 years. And then Doza took over.
Yeah, I joined in 2010. And been with it ever since.
Only 2010.
Yeah.
Seems like longer. Seems like forever.
Yeah. Time flies.
Well, so I understand you have a new album coming out soon.
Yeah, we just finished. We just sent it off to the press to get the vinyl done. It should be out maybe around Christmas time. It's called Hyperglaive. And it's our first full-length record in, what, 7 years?
easily.
Yeah.
I think the first record was 07, wasn't it? Was it?
Yeah, something like that.
And so that was full length, and since then we've done fairly short records.
Is this your Chinese Democracy, like the Guns N' Roses album, then?
I hope not. I consider it to be an example of how not to do a record.
Well, that one was a Best Buy exclusive, so maybe you could partner with Walmart or Target instead. So,
right. Yeah, we've been talking to some people. That's not true.
I had a deal with Circuit City. They wanted a business. It was weird. Weird.
I hate it when that happens. Also, what is the album title come from?
I think it comes from just shooting shit around in the van for a really long time. I think Doza came up with it, actually.
Well, yeah, I mean, the idea is that there's this weapon called the glaive, and if you don't know what that is, you should look it up.
It's kind of a Kroll reference, really.
One of our favorite movies, Kroll. It's an 80s sci-fi. But we always thought the glaive was cool, but it was kind of slow. I mean, you throw it, it kills people, and then...
It takes forever to do it.
It takes a while to come back. It's kind of like a boomerang. We were like, hyperglaive, you throw it, and it like comes right back to your hand. It's a way more efficient killing tool.
Whoa. You could sell these at some of your shows, right?
I'll say that again.
You can sell some of these at your shows,
well,
right?
Yeah, we're going to mass produce glaive frisbees.
Oh, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well, we've already got that going.
We've been talking to a forge. We have a blacksmith in mind. But
an actual hyperglaive.
There are a few magical crystals that are difficult to locate. But yeah, we won't be able to sell the actual hyperglaive.
I almost feel like this is a board game in the making. So.
Possibly.
Well, so are you going on tour soon?
Yeah, we leave next week. We leave on Thursday.
And how long is your tour for?
We're doing 10 days. We'll start in Asheville. We're playing at a record store there. Does anybody remember the name of the record store?
Static Age?
Static Age Records.
Oh, I've been there. It's a great place.
Yeah, so we'll be playing there. That's pretty exciting. Then from there, we'll head to Chicago. We'll play Reggie's. From there,
I'm excited to see if you can remember all this.
Carabar in Columbus, Ohio. The Carabar is one of our favorite places to play. We usually end up sleeping in the bar, on the bar.
Are you making any plans to perform on the Chicago Public Access show, Chic A Go Go? Have you heard of that?
No, that sounds kind of cool, though. Maybe that's something we can do.
It's a children's dance show on cable access TV, and they'll have bands play, and the kids will dance to the music. And they've had a lot of bands, like a lot of metal bands play and a lot of punk bands play on the show. So I just imagine a children's dance show with, like, I know Fugazi is played on there and back in the day.
Wow.
And I think No Bunny has played on there. And a slew of other bands as well, so I think a Colossus dance party would be awesome.
Yeah, Chicago's kind of new for us. We only played there a couple times before, like, this year, so we're kind of still getting our foot in the door with Chicago. But
we left it for a long time. We went to Chicago a couple years in a row, and then just kind of abandoned that far Midwest for a little while.
Gas was real expensive around that. Yeah. It was hard to get over there.
So then it kind of waned, like any interest did totally wane. So now we're always making these long drives to there, and we're only there for like basically like 10 hours, yeah. And then we got to bail out of there and get somewhere else way far away. So,
well, so have you been on several tours already?
Yeah, we did some long ones back, you know, it's been years. We kind of gave up on the, like, long tours because we got a little disillusioned with, like, the middle of the week shows, and it would be, you know, slogging through Monday and Tuesday shows, but, so we just started kind of doing long weekends, which has been really fun, but now that we got the new record out, we're going to try to, like, get a little bit further away and try to pack it all in one run. It should be, I'm excited, it's been a long time.
Well, so have you ever shown up anywhere on tour and you felt like everyone was like, y'all ain't from around here?
Definitely.
Like a lot. Yeah, a lot. But once we play, they get into it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people just want to rock out and drink beer, and that's what we do.
What's been the most memorable Colossus show for all you guys?
The 10-year show. I mean, we had 4 guitars and 2 drums on stage at once at one point.
That was 4 guitars?
Yeah.
That's epic.
We had basically everybody, except for one person, pretty much had Taylor. Taylor wasn't there.
Yeah.
So 2 people who briefly were in Colossus couldn't make it, but otherwise everybody who's ever been in Colossus played on a couple songs.
2 drummers, 4 guitars, only 1 singer and 1 bass player.
Fans got tough on guitar players.
Earlier this year, you did a memorable performance of Iron Maiden and the King's cover up.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, we finally got to play a bunch of Iron Maiden covers. It was a hotly contested set list amongst the band.
Yeah, it actually almost broke us up.
That's like the worst. That was the most trying thing I think we've had to go through was choosing the set for just, the Iron Maiden.
Just
cover
5
up.
Songs.
Yeah,
and
well,
that's,
I mean, that's hard.
Yeah,
pick only 5 Iron Maiden songs.
I mean. Well, Iron Maiden's my favorite metal band, and I think that you played Aces High, if I remember correctly. That's might be my favorite Iron Maiden song. So pretty great.
It's real good. Yeah, I actually liked the other guy's picks. I the Clairvoyant was Doze's pick, and I'd never gotten into it really. And then I was just like, that was my favorite one that we played. So I'm converted.
Your wig was amazing.
Yeah,
and that was on point. And the snakeskin. Was that snakeskin?
I had a snakeskin tank top.
Shirt with snakeskin.
I didn't realize how much I was going to love playing Wasted Years. I really thought I was going to kind of snooze through that one, but that one's
that's fun. A great song.
It's so fun. It's way more fun to play than I thought it would be.
Also, have you done previous years, the King's cover up?
Yeah, we did, we did the Top Gun soundtrack 1 year, which was really fun. And then we did the Team America World Police soundtrack. And then we did Weird Al.
You did Weird Al?
Yeah. That's right. We had like kind of a big ensemble do Weird Al, and it was awesome. All our weird costume changes and tricks failed.
But every joke, every gag failed. It was awesome. Because at the end of it, I was like, when the last gag was coming up, I was like, well, if this one works, it's going to ruin all the other ones failing. And I was actually, at this point, I was just like, oh, please don't work. This thing's got to, like, collapse or break or pop or something, you know. And so they, 100% failure rate was hilarious, I thought. I thought that made the joke perfect. We didn't mean to do it.
Well, speaking of covers, has anyone dressed up as Colossus for Halloween?
A friend of mine actually dressed up as me for Halloween last year, which was, like, really freaked me out pretty bad. Especially when I walked outside and he was talking to a bunch of my friends who were all laughing really hard and then just stopped laughing as soon as I came out.
Did they pull off pretty well?
Apparently so, yeah.
Like the persona and everything? Or?
Yeah, he would like hold his fist up and be like, Colossus! And everybody would laugh really hard. I was like, I don't remember ever really doing that. But
I'm pretty sure you had.
And I think he had your cackle down too.
Yeah, he did have some of my clothes.
Is that kind of like your catchphrase, like if you were a sitcom character? Like you just, yo, Colossus?
I guess so. I never realized.
It's the laugh. The laugh is your signature thing.
You had the laugh down, yeah.
Well, so have you had trouble as far as people taking you seriously because you guys aren't afraid to have fun, and sometimes people are really serious about metal. So does that ever been a problem, or have you ever run into that before?
That's a really good question.
I think constantly.
Yeah.
I really do think all the time. Because we're not... Yeah, we definitely cruise through this thing like it's just all fun and games. And so many bands are just like... They're real intense, and they do not joke about that shit.
I don't know. We're not like technically like, you know, we play like power metal, but it's like kind of more like rock, or it's got like punk influences. So we can play with a lot of different bands. So we almost like playing with rock bands better than playing with metal bands because they take themselves so seriously, whereas rock bands are down to party and like have a good time. I don't know. It's tough. Sometimes people are real into being metal.
Yeah, it's like the personality of the people involved. If they're like super serious and they're not fun, then we don't really want to hang out with them anyway. So fuck them.
So you wouldn't hang out with Spinal Tap because they take themselves too seriously, right?
Oh man, Spinal Tap would be the shit.
Spinal Tap's actually kind of one of the like bases for this whole band.
Yeah. We covered one of their songs at a Christmas party.
Which song did you cover?
Christmas with the Devil.
There you go. That's Well, did you ever had a Stonehenge set up like they had on stage?
We did that, yeah.
Oh, you did?
That's great. Yeah. Are there photos of that?
I don't think so. It was at the old King's Barcade, and we had it set up, and we lowered it down from the ceiling during like a part, and had a, like a spotlight shined on it. And
Ben danced around it because he looked like a...
Kind of like a
little gnome.
A little, yeah.
Have you seen the I Am Thor documentary?
I have. I just did. I saw Thor at the Cat's Cradle by himself. They referenced that show.
Oh, how was that?
It was awesome, actually. I was really stoked, except that it was so loud. I felt so bad. I mean, everybody was like, we sort of knew the story, and actually I knew one of the dudes who they kept interviewing, who was helped him with that stuff, just barely knew him. But so I did kind of know that his band had sort of ditched him and he was just soldiering on. And I was like, I really appreciated that about it. I was like, look at this guy. This guy's the shit. And then but the CD kept skipping. It was the saddest thing because they were just kicking the bass. And the bass was actually making. It was like all he had was a Discman. No shit.
What?
He had a disc,
really?
A disc man with his own album to plug into the board. Wow. And I was just like, that's not going to work.
With just no vocals on it?
Yeah. He somehow managed to wrangle a CD of his new record with no vocals and had it like overnighted to Chapel Hill and popped it in a fucking disc man and plugged it into the board of the Cat's Cradle. And I remember John Byrd just had it pumped. And it was, the bass would kick and it would skip the CD. Oh. And I was just like, damn, y'all.
Oh. That's really sad. When was that?
God, like.
Is that in the 80s or like early 90s?
Damn it.
Yeah, are you guys all so familiar with Thor?
About me being really old.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great, yeah, and they show the old Kings in that documentary.
Oh, cool.
So it's definitely worth a watch. And they play a house party in Raleigh, which is weird to see that in a documentary. But
that's awesome.
Yeah. But I would love to have seen that performance though.
He totally did it all. He popped the hot water bottle. He bent a piece of rebar around his neck. What? He had this, I mean, it was awesome. It was a comedy of errors kind of, but it was also like a real example of a dude fucking going for it. It was awesome. And you know, the record was kind of cool. It wasn't good, but it was, you know,
good effort, right?
Thunderhawk is not like what I call a good record.
You're more of an Anvil fan, right?
I fucking hate Anvil.
You don't like Anvil at all?
It's terrible. They're just the worst band. And everybody talked about how, oh man, they used to share the stage with all blah, 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 and now they're nothing. And it's like, this is so rough. Why isn't everybody knocking down their door? And it's like, because they fucking suck. They're terrible.
Wasn't the big thing that he played like guitar solos with a dildo? Wasn't that one of the things?
Yeah,
what a
dumb shtick.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
He's not even good at it.
Well, have you guys seen Hell's Bells, The Dangers of Rock and Roll? Have you seen that documentary?
No.
That's a Christian anti-rock and roll documentary that came out. I have the videotape. And it includes such satanic bands as Kiss, Motley Crue, Judas Priest, and Fleetwood Mac.
I have actually seen parts of that. We used to comically watch it just because it was so terrible.
Fleetwood Mac's probably the rawest band there.
But yeah, you can watch it on the full clip on YouTube, I think, and it's quite a riot.
That's awesome.
And it includes a fake commercial for a bunch of satanic rock bands. It's almost very... Like, they keep showing all these clips of metal bands, it almost makes you just really want to go listen to these bands. Like, kind of like watching one of those commercials for, like, an album on TV.
Or, like, those Truth Don't Smoke commercials.
Right, yeah.
Those things make me want to smoke a pack a day.
Exactly.
That's how I discovered Dio as a child. I went to a Christian school in Hickory, North Carolina, and they were showing us, like, different bands that we shouldn't listen to. And they showed the Dio logo, and it had, like, if you looked at it, it had the word devil, like, hidden inside of it.
Cool.
Which meant, yeah, that was my reaction. Cool. And so I immediately, like, sought that out. I was like, I want to hear some Dio.
Was this, like, a slideshow presentation, or was it, like, a videotape?
You know, I think it was a video.
This was pre-PowerPoint.
This was, like, 85. I was probably in, like, first grade or something like that, and, yeah, I mean, I immediately sought out Dio. I'd already been listening to Ozzy and Judas Priest at that point.
You're like, this is the next level shit.
Yeah.
You go out, like, the guys that did the presentation, like, you see them out in the parking lot, and they're putting on, like, jean jackets, and, like, they get in a van.
Well, the way they describe these bands, you would imagine them to sound like just the most evil, demonic shit ever. And when you listen to it, it's just regular rock and roll. It's like, shit didn't actually sound how you thought it was going to sound until later. It was, like, bands like Deicide and... Cannibal Corpse, they actually do sound like that.
Or Mayhem.
Yeah.
I remember being actually a little disappointed with how not evil Dio was.
Right.
I was like, this is kind of uplifting and awesome. I mean, that which is great, and it's majestic and fucking perfect, but...
It's not scary.
It's not scary at all, or evil at all.
Rainbow
in
the dark.
It's the least evil music on Earth, as far as I can tell. It's amazing.
Pleasant.
Well, what is the most evil Colossus song? What would make it onto the list of devil music?
Oh, The Judge.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely The Judge. It's about Blood Meridian, the Cormac McCarthy book. It is pretty much... I don't know, it's the most violent book I've ever read. And beautifully written, but so violent and brutal. And the song is about the worst character in it. Because he's just like the epitome of evil. And so it seemed like kind of a no-brainer to do a song about The Judge. It was, yeah. So that's on the new record.
We also did on our, I guess it was the last album or the one before that, with The Mountain That Rides.
Same thing.
We did it. Every now and then we'll just write a song about a character from a book that's just like so evil that we're like, well, that's pretty metal. But then, then it's like kind of weird because we're singing about this real terrible person. So.
Turns out they're both like the most hateful characters you've ever read about.
I think one that would have been banned would have been Ghostfucker.
Oh, yeah.
That would be on the band list for sure.
Definitely can't play that on, like, the radio.
Yeah.
Is there a story behind that song?
Basically, we were watching Ghostbusters, and...
I thought it was about a movie Ghost. I thought it was about Patrick Swayze.
No, this is all made up.
Dan Aykroyd gets a blowjob from a ghost.
We came up with that later after the song. We're like, oh, Dan Aykroyd is a ghost fucker. But no, it's just some weird idea that I came up with, I think, from a dream.
I really didn't think it was about movie Ghost, because you guys said that a lot.
Oh, I'm sure we're joking, yeah.
Yeah. So I just believed you. That's awesome.
Well, so
only Colossus song with the F-bomb in it?
No, the Secret of Nim song says, don't fuck with us.
Oh, that's right.
Have you ever made radio edits for any of your songs?
No, you know, if we ever give one to a radio station, we'll just tell them which tracks. There's only actually probably only been two ever.
I heard some songs on like KNC and they did it manually.
Yeah, just blew it out.
Yeah.
Well, so what is your favorite Colossus song to play live?
Oh man, that's a good question. The new ones have been really fun lately. I think currently is probably Sun Sword is really fun. It's like the first track off the new record. It's a song about Thundar the Barbarian. And yeah, that one's real fun. We get a really good crowd reaction from that. And it's always fun to play some new stuff.
Yeah. Sea of Stars is always really fun. And Swords Against Death. They're probably my two favorite ones.
Yeah, Sea of Stars is another one off of the new record. Yeah, that one's really fun.
I'd have to go with Willow. Yeah. Willow's off the first album, which I didn't play on, but that's still like my favorite Colossus song of all time. It's an 11-minute epic tale of the movie Willow. Have you heard it?
Yeah.
We meant to do more. We got about, a third of the way through the movie, but then we just kind of stopped. So maybe one day we'll finish.
I didn't know that. Well, fuck, we have to finish Willow.
Maybe a song about the Leprechaun movies one day.
Oh, man, just a Warwick Davis concert.
Yeah, song. Right.
That's pretty cool.
Leprechaun in the Hood would be good.
Yeah. When Colossus sits down to record an album, how long does it actually take to record?
Ooh, that's a complicated question. Depends on what you call recording proper.
We kind of figured out our formula with Steven, though, which works pretty good, is that we write songs kind of on our own, and then we all get together and finish the songs, and then we demo them over and over again. And once we have a set of demos that we're cool with, then we take that into the recording studio at Warrior Sound. We always work with Warrior Sound. And we've already done so much pre-recording and demoing and stuff, so when we get in there, we knock them out pretty fast. So it's more like a year of preparation and then maybe like a month. And not a solid month. It's like a month of weekends in the studio.
We had a lot of lineup changes for a while, and so that kind of held us back where we would just, learn to set enough to tour or play shows, and then, we weren't writing very much. But I think we're on a good pace now. Next Colossus album after this one, 2017, July.
We really, we could. Yes.
No, we're solid now. Yeah, the lineup changes were brutal. Because as soon as anybody's out and you got to replace them, that's 8 months.
It's a big setback.
You were the fastest ever.
It's still a process,
I think. And it still was six, easily probably 6 months of just, getting back up to speed. But that was fucking fast. And it's never been that fast before.
I get that a lot, actually. Never been that fast before, just for most things.
Steven's a ladies' man.
Well, so what do you think is the biggest misconception about Colossus? Or are there any?
That's a good question.
There's not a lot of conceptions about
Colossus. Or has everyone already got you figured out completely?
I'm not sure anybody's thinking about it.
Yeah, I think maybe the biggest misconception would be people think that we aren't still playing. Is that kind of that we've broken up?
That's true. I've heard that.
Yeah.
That's shitty when you put out a thing and somebody was like, oh, I didn't know you guys were still playing. It's like, God damn it. It's like we played, I think
we've
when
been
somebody
active
said
for
that
10 years,
when
that
somebody
11 years.
Said that, I was like, we played like 70 shows last year. I mean, that's not like, that's not on a level with, heavy touring bands, but we got jobs.
Right.
Definitely you're still playing.
Yeah. Well, do you guys read reviews of the albums when people write them?
Yeah, we actually, we have a, the last couple EPs we kind of put out on our own, or they weren't really promoted very well, but then we have a label in Germany called Killer Metal Records, and those guys actually do more promotion than we've ever had from any label or whatever, so we get to get all these awesome reviews that are in German and translate them over into English, and try to figure out what they're talking about. It's really awesome. And they are real stoked about it over there. So it's a big goal of ours is to try to get over there. It's definitely, they appreciate what we do a lot more there. But yeah, and we our last thing had a review in Decibel that was pretty positive, which was probably the biggest deal review we've ever had.
Decibel review was kind of one of the best reviews we ever got.
Yeah,
I can't remember what they said, but I remember just being like, "Whoa, huh? That was pretty nice." Yeah.
Well, maybe you could play with Accept when you tour Germany. Are you big Accept fans? Balls to the wall fans?
That'd be so awesome. Yeah. That'd be the greatest thing. Accept is still playing, and they're still
are they
awesome? Yes. They rule.
They play big shows too. Yeah,
huge. Yes, except like headlines, big festivals and stuff. They're killing.
I'd heard recently that Scorpions were supposed to play a festival, and there was some controversy because the Scorpions demanded gold-plated toilets backstage.
But you give so, it to them.
Yeah, they should have the Scorpions.
They're the fucking Scorpions.
So, do you guys have any demands like that when you go on tour? Any gold-plated toilets or no brown M&Ms?
We politely ask for some free beers.
Yeah. We demand that they have any toilets.
I don't right. demand that. Yeah, we don't demand so. It. We just are real stoked if they do.
Have you heard about Van Halen with the no brown M&Ms?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually... I could bore the shit out of you because I know too much about Van Halen.
Well, please do.
It's actually it was a trick of theirs that just was like a catch-all. If anything was fucked up, they could get out of doing stuff by being... Because nobody ever did that.
Right.
Like, nobody ever...
They don't ever actually...
Yeah, and then so they would claim that they... Because it would get them off the hook for everything. They could go completely apeshit and have, like, apparently they really ruined a thing. They got blamed for a whole bunch of stuff for having fire extinguisher fights. But it turned out that the whole thing was just this, like, poorly put together stage that didn't meet the specs of their... They had big management, like, from really early on. So that was just a trick. And it's famous. And that works in their favor, too, because it makes them look like wacky, crazy prima donnas. But right. It actually was a fucking genius move on their... giant, like, way bigger management than they made out like they had on their part. You know, it was like actually a very smart thing they would do because they could get out of playing these things. And, you know, one time they were blamed for having their fire extinguisher fights and ruining this place, but the place was falling apart because it was poorly put together. It was like some makeshift shit stage that somebody put together, and they were like, "We're not playing this." So then they like got fucked up and had fire extinguisher fights and
we've done that before, too.
We totally have. not because we didn't get our proper ratio of M&M colors, though.
I mean, right.
We just found some fire extinguishers that were unlocked.
We got to the place before anybody else had shown up to open it. And, yeah.
Well, did you hear that David Lee Roth was a EMS worker at one point?
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Which he did just for...
I wanted to get hurt. During that in New York, so he was in New York, and I was like, man, what if you got severely fucked up and you woke up and David Lee Roth was fixing you?
And you think you were?
Dying.
Right. Yeah, he's doing CPR. He's like, up a little.
You're gonna be all right, dude. It's okay. I've done way worse.
As long as it's not Sammy Hagar, right?
I would like to cook out with Sammy Hagar.
Right, right.
I think that would be fun.
But you want to party with Diamond David Lee Roth, for though, sure. Right?
Yeah,
absolutely. Right.
It's a weird distinction.
Right. I mean, that makes sense, though.
Right.
Like you wouldn't want to try to like make chicken wings with David Lee Roth.
No,
that would be awful.
I beg to differ.
You just want to ride an ambulance with David Lee Roth, not... Apparently, that's...
I mean, it would be rad. If I'm going to go in an ambulance, I want David Lee Roth to be the dude. I mean...
Right.
Exactly. I trust him.
Right.
Do nurses wear miniskirts? Are they supposed to?
That's probably why he did it. He's like, oh, man, these nurses are going to be the cutest.
Write a song, Hot for Nurse, I guess. How many albums have you guys put out so far?
We have one full length, and I guess the other two kind of count as like EPs, right?
Yeah. Well, this will be four.
Yeah, this will be our fourth release. the last two were about the same length as like this current one that we're about to put out. So it's almost like three, but yeah, four releases.
Do you guys do shirts and posters as well?
We haven't done too many posters. We did one poster that was awesome, but we do a ton of shirts. We've probably had, 50 different t-shirt designs over the course of our run. So,
that many?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's a genius move that I saw Skeleton Witch do, where they had a chain link fence was their merch area, and they would unroll it, and it had like so many, and all their shirts, you know, are like a snake crawling out of a skull's eyeball or something like, you know, it's like infinite variations on evil shit. And I was just like, wow, man, you guys got a lot of stuff. And the guy was like, actually, because we were playing the show, so I guess he felt like he could just kind of come clean. He's like, it's just, we just never sell the last shirt. We just leave them up. And then when people go, oh, I want that one, be like, sold out. We've never done that. No. So if I had, I would love to have kept one of all the t-shirts we've had, because they've all been, you know, like, no fault of our own. They've all been really badass.
Yeah.
Fucking have awesome t-shirts.
But the cool thing is when you see like some like weird kind of chubby kid at the mall wearing one, and then you're like, oh wow, how did that happen? Was it his dad's? Did he order it online?
Did he buy it from Hot Topic?
We don't have any stuff.
Not yet. How about Colossus action figures?
That'd be pretty awesome.
What would be everyone's special power?
Bill would probably launch shit out of his ass. Or there might be like some kind of like a thing where there's like a scratch and sniff where you could rub it and it smelled like onions.
Is he just a really big fan of onions, or?
I think he just smells bad.
Not really anymore. Yeah. You've gotten better.
I have gotten better. Yeah. I just found sage oil actually works. My work got mad at me for not wearing deodorant, and now I wear deodorant.
Maybe a Colossus fragrance then, right? That could work.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I think you're helping us try to market ourselves into like some new worlds.
Essence of Colossus.
Sean's power would be able to, he could like slip under doors and stuff.
Just turn sideways like a piece of paper. And like.
What about everyone else in the band?
Thinks his would be like infinite push-ups. That's what he wants to say.
But it's probably the ability to eat like 25 bananas in a sitting.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Did you win a competition? A banana eating competition?
I've never tried. I'd enter a banana eating competition, sure.
This is groundbreaking stuff here.
That could be dangerous like Mario Kart, though. Someone might slip on a banana peel.
Oh, man. I'd be throwing them everywhere.
You got one, Steven?
I have no fucking idea. Mm. I don't know.
It's tough.
He's good with electronics, so maybe he could shoot.
Maybe like a laser beam or something? Yeah.
Out of his fingertips.
Maybe a taser.
I mean, yeah. It's better than like trash or eating lots of bananas.
A stun gun.
A stun gun?
Yeah, you have a stun gun.
Stun gun.
Well, and I know a lot of bands have ventured into the cinema world, so have you ever thought about doing a Colossus movie?
Yeah, I did think about one. If we ever like stopped doing Colossus for a while and then we had to like get everybody back together, I already kind of like made up a weird little intro where, you know, like Doza would be on some like hippie commune and like he'd get like a letter, it'd be like, Colossus is getting back together, you know? Like Bill would be like, you know, like underneath some like kind of like, I don't know, a starship of some kind, like working on it.
Yeah, I got the best one.
I would be like doing some Lieutenant Dan type shit in a fucking storm on some boat, you know.
Lieutenant Dan.
Like praying for death in the middle of a storm.
Right.
Oh my god! Don't give me death.
Yeah.
It's been too long. What would Ryan be doing, our bass player?
Oh, I forget. I had an idea for everybody, but I don't remember what.
Just like walking across a mountain.
Building a fence. I'm just building a huge fence.
Maybe.
It would be his fence that would stretch to the horizon.
Like tilling a field or something? I don't know.
He would be on the he would be the astronaut that was flying the spaceship that Bill was fixing.
It's not cool.
Well, so has anyone ever done a Colossus cover?
Oh, I don't know.
No. I'm pretty sure.
Did somebody play guitar on YouTube and play one of our songs or something? Like a playthrough? I thought I saw that.
Oh, well, there was... we had one of our songs on Rock Band for a while. That would have been awesome.
Somebody did, that's right. Actually, yeah. I can't remember. Chris Millard.
Oh.
Chris Millard from
Children of the Reptile
did that. Who else he played with now?
He's Thunderlip?
He's played with everybody.
He is pretty much.
And when Thunderlip plays, he's with him. Yeah, that's right. Chris Millard's an amazing guitar player.
Wait, isn't he back in Salvation?
Is he?
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Man, he's so good.
Yeah, he's a great guitar player.
Yeah, he really didn't have a hard time doing it. He just like threw it up and was like, yeah, check it out, guys. I played your song. Wow, all right.
No, well,
that was probably easy for him.
Well, what Colossus song do you think would translate the best to Rock Band?
Probably, let's see. Willow would be good for just like the amount of time, you know? It'd be a real test.
Can you play it for 11 minutes without stopping?
Jihad, maybe.
I was curious, do you have a hit song? Is there a song that the fans request the most?
We definitely have like crowd favorites. We'll look out at the crowd. It's always funny when we're at some place where we don't know anybody and we've never played there, and somebody in the audience is just singing along with the songs, which is always like really dope. But yeah, I don't know. Which ones are
Feel More Better?
Feel More Better.
Feel More Better. Wendigo is a favorite.
I always get asked to play Stoneburner. That's a really? One I hear seriously? Almost all the time. Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome.
People always ask for that one.
That one's about Dune. We have a lot of songs about Dune.
Not Doom.
Dune. The computer game.
Dune 3.
You go for that.
We got a couple of songs about Quake.
I'm going to do more stuff about Frank Herbert's books that aren't Dune, but that'll be awesome.
Well, so...
he's got stuff that's not Dune.
That was what I was going to say. I didn't know that.
They're awesome. Those books are incredible.
Well, winding up here with Colossus... What is your favorite venue to play in North Carolina?
Cat's Cradle Backroom, I think.
That's a good one.
Or Kings.
Yeah, I really love Kings. It's like home away from home.
It's actually home at your home.
Yeah, it's basically home.
Right.
yeah, Kings is probably my favorite. Cat's Cradle Backroom is real awesome, too. They have some real good sound there, and we've been having some good shows there. Where else?
Reggie's in Wilmington.
We love Reggie's.
Like, Reggie's, we played there for years and years, and then they revamped it and built a new stage.
That's awesome.
And did all this,
now, yeah.
Like, really awesome work to it. So, we just played there with the new Reggie's, and we loved it. It's great.
Where can people go online if they want to hear your music?
They can go to www.colossusmetal.com, and that's pretty much just got, like, links to all of our different social media stuff, and it's got our most recent music video that we did for one of the new songs off of this album. And if they want to follow us on Facebook or Twitter or any of that stuff, we'll be releasing updates about when the new record's coming out. And I think I might resurrect my old tour blog for this tour.
Oh yeah.
So,
we've never really done that.
Yeah. I'll post a link to that as well.
And we're on Spotify and iTunes and Google Play and all the various streaming.
Bandcamp. Yeah, you can find all that from that website.
Yeah.
And how do you feel, lastly, how do you feel about people downloading your music without paying for it?
I don't think that really happens. if it does, I mean, more power to you. There'll be like one cedar.
Like, so you're not going to go all Lars Ulrich on them?
No, I don't really mind. I think that, you know, everything that we do for our band goes back into the band. So it's not like we ever really see any money from doing, you know, it's all, we just do it to keep the band going. So it's, you know, I feel like whatever we can get, we're happy to.
If you care enough to go to the trouble to do that, that's awesome. That's still a fan.
And that's like, that's like 75% of the way to caring enough to be like, oh man, I want these guys to be able to keep doing this. So then you might actually like buy something.
I think the bigger problem right now, at least for bands of our size, is that streaming services don't give you any money at all to use your songs.
Yeah, if you fall below the threshold, there you just do it for free.
Yeah, it's insane, and you know they make millions of dollars, and you know we don't make shit. But you know whatever, it's cool. I think that there's less of a problem with that. Everybody has some kind of a streaming service or uses Spotify or Apple Music or whatever, and all our stuff is on there. So we're, you know, getting, you know, a quarter a year per song.
I think we got, there's like $3 in the two core accounts.
Wow. Yeah.
So there is evidence of money actually coming back in.
Do you know what you're going to spend that on?
We're going to like draw interest. We're going to put it in accounts.
Right.
I'll buy one Corona Familiar quart.
Maybe two PBRs, depending on where you are.
Yeah.
Thanks for talking to us today on Damaged Goods.
Thank you.
And we will look forward to your show tomorrow at Slim's.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I guess this won't be out before then. But
probably not. Yeah. So yeah.
See you there.
The world looks forward to your tour.
Saw you there.
Yeah.
We'll look back fondly on it.
Thanks a lot.